Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, welcome to our new series on identity. Didn't Pastor Joseph do a great job last week speaking on what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian? What it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian? Well, Ephesians 5:18 says it like this. We should be ever, what? Filled, or be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a what? It's a continual process. Why do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, Pastor? Because I leak. And so do you. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we say at the end of a day, we will say it like this. I feel drained. I feel empty. The actual Greek says be being filled. That means every day I need, there's times I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit and then I had teenagers. There's times I felt filled with the Holy Spirit, and then, I got into difficult circumstances, like my wife. We have one counseling spot available. And when I am a born-again Christian, a river of life is flowing inside of me, as Jesus said, but every day it must be refilled. As long as I'm here living on earth, struggling with things in my flesh, dealing with people, dealing with children, dealing with your other relatives, you know who it is, fill in the blank. That's why at the beginning of the year, we asked every one of you to give God in 2024, the first 24 minutes of every day. We ask you to take 7 minutes and do worship. Just turn on your favorite worship song and just worship for 7 minutes. And then 7 minutes of prayer. And then 7 minutes of feeding yourself God's word. And when you do those things, what you actually do is you fill yourself up, because things are going to be draining on you throughout the course of the day. So that's on being filled with the Spirit. But today I want to talk to you, I want to take a step back and talk about what happens to you when you are saved or when you are born again. Okay, say that, born again. Okay, when I'm born again, and I'm going to explain in just a moment that real clearly for you, but when I was born again, the old Jacob, something happened inside of me that moment. Romans 8:11 says the same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead came to live inside of me, and I was spiritually dead. Every person born since Adam and Eve, when they ate of the tree in the garden, and God said, in the day you touch or eat it, you will surely... They died spiritually, and so we are spiritually dead. And when I become spiritually alive, if this represents my spirit, each day I need to be filled with the Spirit. Each day I need to be filled with the Spirit. But the moment that I was born again, some terminology in the Bible sometimes use the word saved. The moment I was saved or I was born again, that moment I was not just saved, but I was sealed. I was sealed. Say that with me. I was sealed. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? If every day I need to be refilled or be being filled with the Holy Spirit, but just one time I'm sealed with the Spirit, what does that mean? The Apostle Paul is going to teach us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Here's what he says, the New Living Translation. And now you Gentiles, in case you didn't know that, that's anybody that's not a Jew. How many of you identify as Cajun? Okay, you're a Cajun Gentile. Okay, you're a Cajun Gentile. All non-Jews are Gentiles. And now you Cajun Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the... Hold it. He identified you as his own by giving you the what? The Holy Spirit. whom he promised a long time ago. Of course, they're speaking of prophecies from the Old Testament. The Spirit is God's, it's his what? The Holy Spirit is his guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, that he has purchased for us to be his what? To be his own people. And he did this so we would praise and glory him. All right? Ephesians 1:13, the Passion Translation says this, "And because of him, when you who were not Jews heard of the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been," say it with me, "stamped with the seal of the promise of" what? "The Holy Spirit." So the moment you were born again, the moment Christ came to live inside of you, we just celebrated Easter. And what happened on the third day? We know Good Friday was the day that he died and paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. But what happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Who raised him from the dead? How many go, "Somebody from heaven"? Okay. The Bible says that God raised him from the dead, and God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Son was dying. So God and the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. Was that powerful? Was it real power? Was it resurrection power? The Bible says that the moment you're born again, that same power raises you from the dead and begins to live inside you. So here is what happens. The moment that happened, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul goes on to explain a little bit about what that means in Romans 8:14. Here's what he says. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of what? Why does it say mature? Because sometimes, even though Christ is living in me, if I'm dry spiritually, the old me can come out. Even though he's dead, the remnants of the old me can come out. Let me ask some questions. As y'all know, we don't believe in confession here, so we'll just have group confession. Okay? Has anybody cussed this week? Well, y'all are happy about that. You go, "Pastor, do you cuss?" No, but if you cuss at the right time, I'll amen you. So, did it mean you didn't love Jesus anymore? No. It meant somebody else in church wouldn't let you pass them while you were trying to get out of the parking lot. So when I am filled with the Spirit, then what comes out of me is the fruits of the Spirit. But when I'm not filled with the Spirit, old school. I'm going to go old school a minute. Can I go old school a minute? How many of you are old enough to remember a coffee percolator? How many of your grandmother had a coffee percolator? Okay, the best part of waking up was, that was before we discovered CC's and Jet and Hooyah. 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 Okay. Do you remember when you would get the percolator, you drink the coffee, and you never wanted to get the last part, because what did you get if you got the last part? You get all the grinds. When I'm filled with the Spirit, God comes out of me. When I'm dry, people get the grinds. People get the grinds. How many of you, somebody got the grinds from you this week? How many of you, you got the grinds from some people this week? Of course you did, of course. That's why I need to be daily filled with the Holy Spirit. So when I am immature, people get the grinds. It doesn't mean Jesus isn't living in me. It means I need to get back and get full because I leak. So then he says this, "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of," say it loud, "leading," and he explains it, "leading you back to the fear of never being" what? You're never good enough. You read, but not enough. You prayed, but not enough. You went to church, but not enough. You gave, but not enough. You're doing what's right, but not enough. "But you have received the spirit of," read it with me, "full acceptance, enfolding you into the" family of God, and you will never feel, you will never feel, you will never feel. In other words, you'll never feel like God's not your father. That's what orphan means. You'll never feel like God's not your father. For as he rises up within us in our spirits, joining him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers in our innermost being, whispers, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share in all the treasures, for indeed we are heirs with God himself. And since we joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. And we will experience by being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. What is the Apostle Paul teaching us? Number one, that there's no more fear of not being good enough. Now, let me explain this. When the Apostle Paul was converted, what was he before that? It starts with a J. Second letter's an E. There's a W in there. He was what? He was a Jewish teacher. He was one, if he was Catholic, he would have been a cardinal. That's who he was. He was one of the elites. If he was Protestant, he would have been a Billy Graham. That's who he was. And he lived by 613 laws. Say that with me, 613. How many of you got trouble with 10? 613. Every day he woke up, there was a way that you washed hands, a way that you ate, a way that you dressed, a way that you went to the worship, a way that you changed clothes when you came out of worship, certain sacrifices that you brought, certain ways that you washed your hands, certain things you could eat on certain days, certain things you couldn't eat on certain days, some days you could go to funerals. If you went to a funeral, you couldn't go for 7 days. All kinds of rules. 613. Every day when he woke up, there was a voice that said, no matter what you're doing is not enough. You haven't done enough. There's more to do. Okay? How many of you have ever gone to confession? Okay? If you did something really bad, what would they tell you you had to do? How many? How many? 35. You did something horrible. What did you do? Dear Lord. My goodness. 35? Whew! You need counseling. But you know why they wanted you to do, however much bad you did, you had to do something to make yourself good enough, because you weren't enough. It was all based on what you do, all based on what you do, all based on what you But Christianity is based on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. It's not based on my best day, and it's not based upon my worst day. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us, and so now we can hear that I don't have to live under the fear of not being good enough. That's number one. Here's the second thing. I am fully accepted by God. Say that with me. I am. Pastor, what if I laid in bed? I want everybody to look up at me. Suppose I was a teenager and all I did was just pick up my phone and just scroll. And then looked at TikTok. Okay? And then looked at stuff that I shouldn't look at. Then what? Ha ha ha! You still don't have any fear of not being good enough. Because it's not based on what you do, it's based on what he did. But Pastor, I got in a fight with my cousin and I gave him a good cussing. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what he did. If it's based on what you do, you can get it and you can lose it. There's more candles to light. There's more rosaries to make. There are more gifts to give. There's more money you have to do. There's more things that you... That's all based upon you. Can I tell you something? Look right here. I will never be good enough in myself. Because the standard is perfection. You know what it's like? It's like me saying, in order to go to heaven, I got to touch the ceiling. So you come walking in, Pastor Jacob, stretching, doing push-ups. What you doing? I'm going to jump higher today than I did yesterday. Church staff has me doing push-ups. How many of y'all heard of 75 hard? I'm 65. I'm doing 65 easy. Okay? And I'm stretching. And every day I would jump, even if I tried until I died, even if they bought me a ladder on the good days and a taller ladder on my birthdays, I would never reach the top. That's why it's not based on what I do. He reached down from heaven and grabbed me and brought me up there. It's based on what he did. I am fully accepted by God. The moment you are born again and you're saved, Christ comes to live inside of you and you become his child. Yes, you need to be filled every day, but one time you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and you belong to him. I am fully accepted. Here's the third thing. His Spirit in me says, I'm saved and I'm a sealed child of God. His Spirit. Here's the fourth thing. Paul tells us as he says, I am his beloved. Say that. I'm his. Do you know what beloved means? Most loved. It means I'm the most loved. I'm the most loved. Pastor, does God have favorites? Does God have favorites? I want to ask every parent here, and you're in church. If you lie in church, you go straight to hell. Where were you? I was right in our Savior's church looking at Pastor Jacob, and now I'm looking at his cousin. Look at me. Do you know God has favorites? You just got to choose to be one of them. The word beloved means the most loved. The most loved. That he is our beloved Father and we are the most loved by him. And here's the last thing Paul is telling us there. He says, since I'm his child, I share in everything that belongs to him. Who's the richest man in the world? Just name some of them. Elon Musk. Warren Buffett. Jacob Aranz, do you know who is actually also one of the wealthiest people in the world? Their children, you don't even know their names. And you know what they had to do to become the wealthiest people in the world? Be born naked, that's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. You and I have been born again, and so all that is Christ is now ours. So as we close, I want to give you four principles this leaves us with that I don't ever want you to forget, ever, 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 ever. I want to ask you a question. It's the second most important question in your life. I'm going to ask you the most important question here in just a moment. Here's the second most important question of your life. Can you actually know for 100% sure that you're God's child and Christ is living in you? Can you know for 100% sure that you're saved? Yes. Pastor, I smoked them that night. P- Pastor, you don't know this. I mean, I kind of stumbled a little bit, and, you know, I don't go to La Fonda's anymore. I just named my wife La Fonda, and she makes margaritas. Pastor, Pastor, I got so mad the other day. Pastor, if you knew the things that came out of my mouth, I was surprised by the things I said. Is it possible to know that you are saved from all the consequences of what happened in the fall? Is it possible to actually be 1,000,000% sure that you're a born-again, saved child of God? Is it possible? Of course it is. Anybody here? Let your children go to bed and look at you and go, Daddy, are you really my daddy? Mama, are you really my mama? I didn't say that. They did. Here's what I want you to know. I am saved. I am born again. Come on, say that with me. I am saved. I am a born-again child of God. Come on, say that. I am a born-again what? I am saved. Saved from what? First, saved from myself. Because I can tell you this. I've done worse things to me than anybody ever done to me. I've done worse things to me than anybody's ever done to me. I am saved from fear and guilt and shame. That's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they became separated from God. So you know what that means? That I have restored relationship just as they had in the garden. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening, God would come and walk with Adam and Eve. I got something better than that. I can lay in bed tonight and wake up and just go, Jesus. And he goes, yes. Yes. I say, Father. He goes, Son. I go, Holy Spirit, you're the comforter. I'm worried. And he comes. And in the coldness of my unbelief, he brings a big old warm down comforter and says, I got this. I got this. I'm saved. And I've restored fellowship with God better than Adam and Eve had in the garden. He's with me wherever I go. He's with me wherever I go. I got the free songs. Here's the second thing. I'm sealed. Pastor, what does that mean when you say I'm sealed? During biblical times, when they used the word sealed, what would happen is a ruler would send a letter from one person to the other, and they would send it by runners. And so what they would do is they would take a wax seal from the king, and they would stamp it, and it could not be opened under penalty of death. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is living inside you? He's God's seal saying, I belong to God. I've been purchased by Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. He's living inside of me. Now, let me answer the question that I know everybody has in their mind. Well, Pastor, the way you're talking about this, you act like you could be a Christian. You could just do whatever you want to do. You can. You can. But look at me, you will be so miserable. When you cussed this week, you felt good about yourself? You felt that little, it wasn't your mama pinch in church. They pinched and twisted. It was just that little twinge, just like, hey, no, that's not you. That's all you, that's not the new you, that's not you. That's not the resurrected you. That's not the resurrected you. You talk bad about somebody, you feel that little twinge. No, that's not you. That's not you. That's old you. That's not the new you. That's not me living inside of you. The Bible says when that happens, we quench the Holy Spirit. He just like, oof. I believe the Bible teaches us that when you're a born-again child of God and you're sealed, you can do anything the Holy Spirit allows you to do. You can. There's a French proverb that says, look right here, there's no pillow so soft as a pure conscience. But you ever laid your head on a pillow and all of a sudden just you flashed in front of you what you said or did? Anybody ever done that? You know that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, put that under the blood. Ask me to forgive you. Come on, restore fellowship. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm sealed. Say it with me. I'm sealed. Number three, I get to share in his riches. I get to share in his riches. Ephesians 3:6 says, and this is God's plan that both Gentiles and Jews who believed in the good news share equally in the what? Riches inherited by God's children. All that Jesus has belongs to me. All that Jesus died for and purchased on the cross belongs to me. All of it. Well, Pastor, I'm not experiencing some of that. It's not because he hasn't given it to you. Grace gave it to you on the cross. Faith is your ATM card. Lord, I'm worried about my child. Pull up that ATM card and go, God, I give my child to you. I lay him on the altar before you. Father, I trust you with my child. And he goes, okay, now I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. And then finally, I'm secure. Say it with me. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I share in his riches. And I'm secure. What does that mean? Listen to Jesus himself talking. These are red letters. My own sheep will hear my voice, and I know each one of them, and they will. And I will give them the gift of eternal life. And they will say with me, never be lost. And no one has the power to. He says, you are mine and no one has the power to snatch you out of my hands. Watch this. My Father has given them to me as a gift. And he is the mightiest of all. Read with me. And no one has the power. What? You know what this means? You know what this means? It's amazing how religious duty chokes out a relationship with God. You know, I love people. How many of you know that? Okay, shake hands with everybody. How many of you here today shook your hand or touched you? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you quit avoiding me. I want to touch every single, I love that. And while I'm doing that, I mean, I'm enjoying it. My favorite thing besides that is to be here and I'm shaking hands and all of a sudden I feel, and I look down, and you know who it is? Look. And John Wesley goes, Pops, Pops, Pops. How many of y'all know the only thing better than your children is your grandchildren? Because you get to spoil them and send them back to your children. You get to do for them what you would never let your children do, but you get to send them back to them after that. And when you look up, oh, the next one. That's Eli, my oldest grandson, Christian son. And John Wesley's first T-ball game. They're both keeping the number 18 alive, which was also Haddon's number. Do you know what? Do you think I would ever want him to go to bed one night and call his daddy or mama over and go, does Pops think I'm enough? Does Pops believe that I'm good enough for him? Does he? What's the answer to that? Then why do you think our Heavenly Father would ever do that to any one of us? Ever. And it doesn't say, that verse we read didn't say, he screams to us, you're my beloved. It says he what? He whispers. How many remember when your mama would call you? How many remember when you got your middle name called? Like, I that was the part where, like, you know, you can call me Jake, Big J, call me what the kids call me, El Macho Muchacho. I mean, I don't care. But when my mama said, Jacob Thomas, like, my whole life flashed before my eyes. Look at me. He whispers. He whispers. Those of you who are sitting here, you saw John Wesley. I was holding him. And I look at him and go, I love you with all mine. He'll go, heart. And I go, I love you with all mine. And he'll go louder, heart. And when he leaves the house, he's getting in the truck and I'm yelling, I love you with all mine. He goes, heart. Look at me. Do you think that's how much God loves you? That doesn't even scratch the surface of how much he loves you. That doesn't even scratch the surface. You are saved. You are sealed to the day you get delivered to Jesus himself and God the Father and the Holy Spirit in the throne room. You get to share in his riches and you are secure. He doesn't ever want you questioning one day, am I really? Once Christ comes to live inside you and you become a resurrected child of God, you can live on empty, but you can go back and be full, but you can never be taken out of the hand of God. You are his child forever. And he never wants you questioning that. Never, never, never. Yeah. I probably have a little more revelation on this than most people. When we got Amberly Grace, she was 4.5 years old. 4.5 years old. She walked in the house with the little SpongeBob thing of every all of her belongings. She dropped it at the door. She called me Daddy, Michelle Mama, and has never called us anything since that day. Ever. Never. She's begun most days of her life sitting on my lap. And even to this day, most nights, she ends up sitting on my lap as I hug her and pray for her to this day. She has never once, ever, ever questioned, am I in the will? Now, Joseph told her everything belongs to him and not everybody else, but besides that, look at me. You are his beloved. You are saved. You are sealed. You share in his riches and you are secure and your Father wants you to know that. He wants you to know that. He doesn't ever want you to question that. Would you bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, today, regardless of our age and our size, we're John Wesley's age. You're our beloved Father. And you are our beloved child. You're our beloved child. I want you to say this with me quietly under your breath. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I share in his riches. I am secure. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I share in all his riches. I am secure. I am secure. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the stamp. You're the stamp. You're the seal that cannot be opened until we get to the throne room. that we are your children. We're the beloved of the Father. We're the beloved of the Father. I want you to say this with me. I'm God's most favorite. I'm my Father's favorite. I'm my Father's favorite. I'm my Father's favorite. Come on, say it with me. I'm my Father's favorite. I'm my Father's favorite. I'm my Father's favorite. You know, for some of us, we've been so used to hearing other voices. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You don't give enough. You're not enough. That we've actually begun to believe those voices are us. We become so familiar with them, we actually believe it's us. It's not, it's the enemy. It's the enemy. It's the liar. It's the deceiver. It's the one who lied to Eve in the garden and said she wasn't enough and she didn't have enough. Today, I'm his beloved. I'm his favorite. I want every person to put your hand on your heart right now, all over this building. I want you to say this, I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm his beloved. I'm his beloved. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Jesus said, unless a man or woman was born again, they wouldn't see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, unless a man or woman was born again, they wouldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everything that I spoke of today happens to you the moment you're born again. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I've been christened, I've been baptized, I've joined the church. Isn't that good enough? That's a great start, but it's not what Jesus said. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. When Adam and Eve ate of that tree, everyone died spiritually. But when Christ died on the tree called the cross, he gave every one of us an opportunity to become spiritually alive again. Have you been born again? Being christened, baptized, and joining the church is a good start, but it's not what Jesus said. He said you had to be born again. How do I do that, Pastor? It's as easy as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ became your sin bearer. He died for your sin so we wouldn't die with our sin. And C, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. As you turn away from sin to be born again, the moment you do that, a resurrection happens in you. And you become a saved, sealed, beloved child of God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I've never prayed to be born again, that's what I want today. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand high and put it back down. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm the only one looking. One, God brought you here. Yeah, I know someone invited you. He used them to bring you. Two, he's been waiting. This isn't the first time. He's waited a long time. And now's your moment to surrender to the one and to the love that's been chasing you all of your life. Three, if that's you, lift your hand high. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, put your hands down. Last 10 seconds, Pastor. I didn't raise my hand with these 26, but I should have. My heart's about to beat out of my chest. I know this is what I need. Raise your hand right now if you didn't raise it. Join these 26. Join them right now. Wave it at me. 26. 27. Anywhere else? 28. Okay. Now, church, let's pray out loud with all of those that raise their hand today to be born again. Let's pray out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my guilt, my sin, and my shame, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me, so I would have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from sin to be born again. Today, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Enjoy that message from Pastor Jacob. Would you stand up on your feet with me? If you just made that decision to give your life to Jesus, your next step is water baptism. You can grab one of these blue Get Connected cards right in front of you. Fill that out. You can leave that on your pew. Hey, would you let me pray a blessing prayer over you before we leave? Would you bow your heads? Now may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And may all that you set your hand to, may it be for the kingdom, and may he prosper, and may he bless it. And as your pastor, I bless you in the Father, his Son Jesus, and the all-abiding Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We have prayer partners up at the front. We'll see you next week.